Yeah, so in a lot of ways, a pig has changed a lot. Genetic improvement, he weighs more, he grows faster, he does a lot of things. But in other ways, a pig is still just a pig. And so some of those traits 20 and 30 years ago that we were interested in, tenderness, color, juiciness, water holding capacity, they haven't really changed.
Welcome to MeatsPad, a platform to share breakthrough knowledge that is accessible to the entire meat industry. Be ready to hear from meat specialists who will talk about numerous topics in meat science, including animal welfare, meat production, meat quality, and so much more.
This podcast is brought to you by the Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network, the National Provisioner, and UltraSource, the new standard for innovation.
Since 1883, UltraSource has been a trusted supplier to the food industry. UltraSource provides superior kill floor processing, packaging, and labeling equipment and operational supplies.
Hello, meat folks. Welcome to the MeatsPad podcast. My name is Francisco Nahar. I'm your host today. We have a very special episode today. We're going on to episode number 12. We have a very special guest. More recently, he was a faculty at the University of Illinois. Now he's taking on a new position as a meat scientist in Topix Norsvin, a swine genetics company. And he'll show us more about this and show more about what some of his roles at this company. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Dustin Bowler. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate the invitation.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for accepting the invitation, Dr. Bowler. So today we have a very interesting episode. We will be talking about some of the current practices that are done by the pork industry nowadays. Talk about animal welfare. We'll talk about quality, because we know ultimately that has an impact on the eating experience of pork products. Before we go more into detail, please tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your career, so our audience can get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So I'm a meat scientist with Topix Norsvin USA, which is the second largest genetics swine genetics company in the world. And I came about this position. I was fortunate enough, I got my graduate degrees at the University of Illinois. And really the research forte of the group at U of I is pork quality and understanding how things that occur on the farm from a live phase production standpoint impact product quality, eating experience, consumer perception, those types of things. And so I was really trained for a position that fits what I do really well. Upon graduation, I had an opportunity to spend some time on faculty at Ohio State University and then the University of Illinois. And there, again, an opportunity to work with some fantastic colleagues on understanding pork quality from a standpoint of how production practices, handling, welfare, genetics, all those types of things impact meat quality. And then sometimes as life happens, my wife has presented an opportunity that required relocation, and I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity with Topix Norsvin as their meat scientist. And so now my primary role is understanding their products and genetic improvement in terms of meat quality and eating experience of the sire lines and female lines of that Topix Norsvin provides.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for giving us all information about your degree, and I'm assuming it was because you being in a faculty position and transitioning into the industry. That I mean, we can talk a little bit about that and some of the. Just I guess it's the first question that that we have for you today. What are some of the current challenges that you see that the pork industry is facing? And you mentioned of quality factors that really play an important role when it comes to all those consumer experience, quality, and so forth. But where are we in the pork industry today?
Yeah, so that's a great question, you know, and it's no secret we're living in a time of COVID and where COVID demands everybody's attention. And the pork industry, the meat industry is not exempt to that. And it certainly created some challenges in some ways, in a lot of ways, but it's also provided some really unique opportunities in that it's brought consumers back to pork And what I mean by that is, you know, during some of the challenges with distribution and slaughter capacity and some of those, it has shifted consumers, the way that they're able to purchase pork away from food service and towards retail. And as consumers went back to retail as their meat supply, they went back to pork. And so they provided us an opportunity that as an industry to reintroduce ourselves to consumers again. And then the challenge was simply just distribution and making sure that we were providing those consumers products and quantities that met their demand.
As you mentioned COVID, and I think, I guess we're getting tired of everyone talking about COVID, but I'm curious and I want to know your opinion. Just an overview about how the meat industry, more specifically the pork industry, how that was handled and how is currently handling those situations within the plant. I'm not sure if you know too much about that, but you can probably talk us briefly about that, if you will.
Well, I'm not sure that I have any information that's terribly revealing or that we don't already know. I think that people get all concerned, rightfully so, about, you know, food supply and food availability, which is certainly a worthy concern. But I think the important thing to remember is that throughout COVID and throughout all of the challenges that the industry was facing, that food inspection, food safety never wavered. And so all throughout the challenges and today and moving forward and previously, and one of the real luxuries that we have as U.S. consumers is that we have a very safe food supply, and inspection never stopped. And so all the products that we were provided throughout COVID was just as safe as they've ever been and just as safe as they will always be. And so from that standpoint, I think the meat industry is really to be congratulated that they were able to maintain that high level of standards that we come to expect.
Yeah, that's very correct. And earlier, and we were mentioning some of the factors that affect quality in terms of pork carcasses and consumer experience. So from your experience, what are some of the major factors that affect quality?
Well, so to me, quality comes down to two big things. I think regardless of the parameters that we talk about as scientists, they boil down into one of two categories, and that's either purchase intent or eating experience. And as meat scientists, we have to first deliver a product that is appealing to the eyes that consumers want to buy, because we make a lot of purchasing decisions based on visual appraisal of those products. And so when we're looking at meat products, the traits that consumers tell us are of interest to them are color. And so we have to provide a meat product that has a color that's desirable to consumers and what they expect meat to look like. The other is certainly marbling. There's preferences around marbling and the perceptions that consumers have with how marbling may or may not influence eating quality. And so I think purchase intent is the first parameter that we have to deliver in terms of a product that consumers want to buy. And then once we have convinced them to do that, we have to deliver a product that's going to meet their expectations and eating experience. They have to enjoy it, right? Because as a meat industry, in the pork industry specifically, we know that consumers have choices. That may be beef, that may be poultry, it may be some alternative plant-based protein. Hopefully it's pork. But if we're not delivering a product that meets their expectations and eating experience, we're in a lot of trouble as an industry. And so when we talk about traits that influence eating experience, that is almost always tenderness is first and foremost. We need to deliver a product that meets tenderness expectations. And then that product needs to be flavorful and juicy. And so if we're delivering visual appearance and eating experience, I think we're in pretty good shape with consumers.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And going back to what you said, that some of your roles and your company talking about handling some of the procedures when it comes to processing that really affect the overall quality of fresh pork. Will you tell us a little bit about that in terms of some of your current work to enhance the quality from that perspective?
Yeah, so when we talk about meat quality, and how that relates to animal welfare and animal handling, I think there's really three reasons to support welfare and humane handling practices and all those kind of things. Of course, it's the law. And so we're required to handle animals humanely and move them quietly and provide them a humane slaughter experience. And so that's first and foremost. It is the law, and we owe it to the animals. But doing so, sound animal welfare and animal husbandry practices provides pork quality to reach its genetic potential. And so if we do handle those animals quietly and humanely, we slaughter them appropriately, and we chill those carcasses appropriately, deliver all the food safety practices, that allows those carcasses to reach their genetic potential for quality very well. And so animal handling, animal welfare, all those things certainly has an aspect to the pig itself and to meeting regulatory compliances. But it also has a tremendous amount to do with meat quality in itself. And so doing so has a benefit for us as consumers as well.
Great. And sometimes the consumer don't get to see those practices that are in place at the processing level, but certainly when they're eating their product and when they're having a good eating experience, that's where, as long as they're happy, I think we down the processing line and at the farm, we're pretty sure that we're doing a good job. What are some of the personal experience or maybe work-related experiences that really made you grow as a professional, as a person? So it could be really anything. But I guess with that, the people, our audience, can get to know you a little bit better and relate to that experience.
Yeah, so one of the things that was really influential to my career growth, when I went to undergrad at Purdue University, and I had some exposure to the meat industry in high school and on the meats judging team and certainly in FFA and 4-H and all those type of things. But I had never really envisioned the meat industry providing my career, certainly not in the capacity that it has. But whenever I graduated from undergrad at Purdue University, Tyson offered me a position in their prepared foods group in Fort Worth, Texas, and I had an opportunity to really get exposed to the meat industry from a different all aspects, from quality assurance, from statistical process control, from food safety, from distribution, from cold storage, all those kind of things, and really learned kind of the complexity, but exactly how the meat industry was put together and just how interesting and rewarding it could be as a career. And so I've already mentioned that my wife provided the opportunity she was provided an opportunity that required a relocation. It is actually her again that when I was with Tyson, I was living in Texas and she had already started grad school. And so there, you know, my time at Tyson, I realized I wanted to make a career in the meat industry, but I needed to, I needed some more training. I needed some additional education. I wanted to be able to experience the meat industry in a different capacity. And so I chose to leave that position at Tyson to start grad school. But it was really that first position, and Tyson Foods deserves a lot of the credit for where I'm at in terms of my interest and involvement in the meat industry today.
Great. That is very, very profound. I guess we never expect that some of those people that I'm married to and help us go through grad school, through work experiences and all that. And I'm certain that's what it is for a lot of people. And I just as a last question in terms of along those lines, was it difficult for you to, I mean, go from academia to the industry?
Yeah, so, you know, I was quite happy in my position at Illinois. I had fantastic colleagues. I really enjoyed the people I was working with. I really enjoyed grad students and all those benefits of being in academics, and I miss it. But at the same time, you know, part of a good graduate program is training somebody to be flexible and nimble. And Topics Norseman provides a lot of the same stimulation. I still get the opportunity to conduct research. I'm still able to follow the scientific process and developing a hypothesis and track down a problem. And so science is science, regardless of whether you're doing it for an academic institution or whether you're doing it for a private industry. And so from that standpoint, my career is just as rewarding as it's always been. I've been very fortunate because I had the relationship with some faculty members at Illinois and other institutions that I still get to interact and provide some guest lectures on occasion and interact with grad students. And I just got to participate in ICOMS last week. And so I still get all those experiences. It's just a little different capacity now, but science is science.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And then going back to the core of this episode, talking a little bit about quality in terms of port more specifically. You mentioned a couple of things that we look at: handling, processing procedures at the processing level when we slaughter hogs. What are some of the methodology that we're following today? I mean, compared to 20 years ago that we didn't have that information, how are we solving those things that we know that affect quality?
Yeah, so in a lot of ways, a pig has changed a lot. Genetic improvement, he weighs more, he grows faster, he does a lot of things. But in other ways, a pig is still just a pig. And so some of those traits 20 and 30 years ago that we were interested in, tenderness, color, juiciness, water holding capacity, they haven't really changed. And so the objectives are still the same: produce a product that is tender, that is flavorful, that is juicy. But some of the technologies that we're using now, online technologies, non-invasive technologies, CT scanners, NIR machines, things like that, gas chromatographs, all of these types of technologies have improved that allowed us to more precisely identify products that are more superior or less superior in terms of their eating experience and tenderness and all those traits that we've talked about. And so I think the objectives have stayed largely the same, but the methodologies that you described are becoming more advanced, just like technology has impacted our lives in so many other capacities.
Great. Do you see the pork industry changing, or do you envision like maybe 10, 15 years, we'll keep doing the same things that we've been, what are some of your speculations?
Yeah, so it is speculation, and that's one of the fun things. I think I just provided the answer previously, you know, that the objectives 10 or 15 years ago are the same that they are today. I think the objectives will be the same again moving forward, that we want to produce a product that's nutritious and that tastes good and is tender and provides eating experience and provides us an opportunity for social interaction, hopefully, one of these days. All those things are still the same. But of course, I think the technology is going to continue to advance. I think automation is going to continue to advance such that we can produce those products more efficiently, because population's growing. The demand for pork is increasing. And so I think we're going to have the opportunity as an industry to feed more people, which is fantastic. And so we just need to embrace technology and ways to provide that to them.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you for being here today. Thank you for accepting the invitation to be on this podcast, Dr. Bowler, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I enjoyed the conversation.
All right. With that, we end this episode. Thank you a lot for listening, and be ready to hear from more meat specialists in the following episodes. We will have more discussions about hot topics in the meat industry. Please subscribe to our website at www.meatspot.com, and you will receive a welcome email, and you will also be receiving notifications on the new episodes that we're releasing. Thank you again. Stay tuned and see you the next time.